Okay, thank you all for coming out. Returning faces and new faces alike. Baruch Hashem. Both for those who are returning and for those who are jumping in for the first time. I want to sort of frame a little bit of what we're doing and lay the groundwork for the Limud. Put things into perspective, the learning into perspective, and then we'll talk a little bit about the process and practicals, which should be chazar for most everyone here. When you think of there are four halakim of Shulchan, and when in a certain sense we're focused on the most fascinating and certainly the most varied, just sort of to build from outward in. Eben Ezer, Choshe Mishpat, Aruch Chaim all have a very specific focus. Eben Ezer is Hilchos Nashim, Choshe Mishpat is Hilchos Nezikin, Dini Mamanas, and Aruch Chaim, as you know, is a series of three cycles. First, the daily cycle, which is mostly Tfilos and Brachos, and then the weekly cycle of Hilchos Shabbos, and the annual cycle of Rosh Chodesh and the Yom Tov, which leaves the Aridea, which is everything else. And everything else is always a great space to be, because it means there's incredible variety. And we're transitioning now for those who are, whether you're returning or starting for the first time, we're entering a new zone. That last year and the part of the year before, we were very focused on Bas B'Chalav, which is part of Chelek Aleph of Yerideya. Chelek Aleph of Yerideya takes you through the big zones of Hilchos Kashrus. Bas B'Chalav is one of them. More specifically, when you look bigadol at the Yerideya, table of contents, so the first third of these usually prints with three chalakim, though hopefully we'll be getting a newer print with more chalakim, but in the usual three chalak print, so the first third is Hilchos Kashrus, and specifically those Hilchos Kashrus that derive from Maseches Chulin, and more or less Al Seder, more or less. Shechita, Trevis, Minim Cherim, Melicha, Bas B'Chalav Taruvas is mostly, taking you through by the hand through Maseches Chulin. Over the rest of Yerideya, which is what we're jumping into right now, there's a tremendous amount of variety. The end is Hilchos Avelos. We're going to be continuing with Hilchos Kashrus, but the non-Maseches Chulin part of Hilchos Kashrus. That's how the second chelik, the middle chelik of Yerideya begins with all the dinim come from Maseches Avodah Zarah, and then beyond that, there's a tremendous variety. There's tzedakah, and there's mezuzah, and there's kibud av va'em, and there's chadash, and there's everything else under the sun. So where we'll go further down the road, halvai, we'll figure it out. But right now, we're pivoting from Bas B'Chalav with our Hekshar Kalim. Last spring was sort of a natural next step from Bas B'Chalav, and the El was our opportunity to dive briefly into one of the Yerideya parts of Choshen Mishpat, the Shemitah Tzefachim, and now we're firmly back in Yerideya, but now we're in the middle chelik of Yerideya. As I said before, specifically if the first chelik of Yerideya is all Maseches Chulin, so the first half or so of the middle chelik of Yerideya chelik Beis is all Maseches Avodah Zarah. A word about Maseches Avodah Zarah, about the Masechta, and then we'll come back to our Limud. Maseches Avodah Zarah is really about two different topics. It's about Avodah Zarah, but it's more than Avodah Zarah, it's about non-Jews. The crime of Avodah Zarah, and as the act of worshipping Avodah Zarah, that's dealt with, if I remember correctly, mostly in Maseches Sanhedrin, in the list of Elohim and Skalim. Maseches Avodah Zarah is five prakim. The first two prakim have to do with the halachas that govern our interactions with non-Jews. And then the middle of the Masech, the Paragimel and Parag Dalet, is about Avodah Zarah, but not worshipping Avodah Zarah, but items of Avodah Zarah. Because what do I do if I come across a statue and so on and so forth? What do I do? I think I've shared with some of you that a couple years ago I had the chance to work on, I think we may have been the first Jews in a Western country 1,500 years to be burning an Asherah tree. So that was from the middle of Maseches Avodah Zarah. And then finally, the end of the Masech, the end of the fourth parak into the fifth parak, comes back to halachas that govern our interaction with non-Jews, but specifically the halachas of Yain. Halachas of Yain are so vast, they get their own parak in half. We're going to be focused on the first two prakim, specifically the end of the second parak. Those first two prakim begin with halachas that govern business interactions with non-Jews and personal interactions with non-Jews. And then towards the end of the second parak, there's a series of three mishnayos that govern, that categorize items that you might buy from a non-Jew. And there are three mishnayos in a row. The first mishnah has those items which are asur bahana. The second mishnah has those items which are asur bachila, mutar bahana. And finally, the third mishnah has those items which are even mutar bachila, even kosher. So the first mishnah is really about if something's asur bahana, that in this context means it's an avodah zara or suspected to be an avodah zara item. You remember the furor over the shetels once upon a time, a couple years ago. So that was the concern ultimately put to rest. But the concern was that it was an avodah zara item, and as such was asur bahana. The middle mishnah is those items which are mutar bahana but asur bachila. In other words, there's no avodah zara concern, but it is treif for some reason or another. That mishnah, daf lamed hey, where our maromakomus will begin. That is the official list of Machal Yaakov. Then you have sort of the third mishnah is the counterpoint. Here are things that don't fit into those categories, and therefore a mutter. Within that list, and the mishnah daf lamed hey, so there's a blend of different items. We're going to come across our opening topic, Bishul Akim is there, and perhaps afterwards, if there's interest, we'll move on to Pas Akim, which is also there, and Chalav Akim is there, and a couple other things as well, and there's a blend among the Machal Yaakov that present the problem, which formed the opening simanim of the second Chelek of Yerodea. They fall into two basic categories. Some of them are based on a concern of non-kosher ingredients. Most famously, Chalav Akum is based on a concern that maybe the non-Jew introduced some milk from a non-kosher animal. And then the Mishnahs go and also talk about different, what things need hashkacha and what things don't. Facts, the nitty-gritty facts of food production obviously have changed dramatically from the Tkufa of Tatanam to now. They probably changed more dramatically over the past century than over the preceding 16 centuries. The concepts are the same. There are going to be certain items like unflavored coffee and spring water and so on and so forth, where we know how these things are produced and there is no concern, some types of dried fruit and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know our extra virgin olive oil. We know these things are produced, and we're confident that there's no concern of non-kosher ingredients being introduced. And there are other things where there are different recipes, and it may have been made in non-kosher equipment or actually contain non-kosher wine, v'chol. So when you look at the Machal Yaakov, that mission, daf lamed hey beis, there's some items which are os chazal forbade, or safek deraisa, perhaps, because of a concern of non-kosher ingredients. And then you have others which are not a concern of non-kosher ingredients, but it was a broader gezeira that Chazal made. That's what the Gemara discussed in Daf Lamed Vav. A couple of things that are also mishum chasnos. They weren't a concern of non-kosher ingredients, but it was a device that Chazal used to create a speed bump to slow us down from, and to allow us to avoid over socializing with people who don't share our core values. It can be friendly, not being friends. To figure out how to maintain that line. And then Gemara says, ultimately, the ultimate concern of all this is Mishum Chasnas, is a concern of way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And conversely, if every time you're eating with a non-Jew, there are things you have to remember, well, I can do this, but I can't do that, and I have to be in the kitchen after this. Those could be speed bumps that will remind me, hacker, to remind me that this is a situation that I have to enter with forethought, gingerly, and not over socialize, and not, again, may lead to mixed dancing, may lead to interdating, which is the ultimate concern. We assume that Bishul Akum is on that list. There's the asr mishum chasnos. Even if the food is made in your kitchen or otherwise there's a mashkiach, you're not worried about any non-kosher ingredients, Bishul Akim appears to be, that's one of the things we keep our eyes open for. Does Bishul Akim fit? It seems like it's mishum chasnos, but we're going to keep our eyes open to see, is it Is it in the chasnas category? Is it in the kashrus category? Is it some blend of the two? And we're going to that's one of the things we keep our eyes open, A, for what the Rishonim are saying, and number two, why that might matter. And there could be some practical nafkamines that may come up as soon as Sif Aleph. Now, almost everyone here has been here before. Some of you have not been. So just to lay out the Mahalach, I look forward, hopefully, the Chabur, hopefully, will be meeting at this time on Tuesday nights after the 9:05 Ma'ariv. And this is ideally that you can just come to the shiur, but and I hope to craft the shiur in a way that even if for whatever reason you can't live a chavrusa, it's still a productive experience. But definitely we're building primarily around guys who want to learn b'chavrusa at least once or twice or five times a week as the case may be. And to that end, here is the first set of Ma'ariv Mekamos. Feel free to take and pass.
So this question is
Ma'ariv Mekamos will typically be once a week. Every once in a while there'll be a sugya that's big and that will have Ma'ariv Mekamos that will carry us for more than a week. But before we break, we'll talk a little more about the limud. Before we break, we'll have a chance to have a little bit of a chavrusa tumult. So anyone who's looking for chavrusa, figure out who else is looking for chavrusa. Figure out if you have compatible times that can make that work. But if you're new to the world of limud halacha, so this is an opportunity to engage in seeing the way halacha actually works. Instead of just starting with the Shulchan Aruch or the Kitzur Svarim. So those who have already been a part of this, or if you learned halacha being in the past, so you know that Shulchan Aruch, opening Shulchan Aruch and just reading straight is very confusing for very good reasons, because you're basically opening to the last page of the book and trying to make sense of it. Or sometimes people do, and again, it works out well or not. So we're going to be going straight and seeing these Ma'ariv Mekamos, starting from a Mishnah and a Gemara, and then already seeing the very least a Tosfos, a Rosh, a Rambam. And then the tour, until we get actual svarim, copies here. The tour was just to put things into a little bit of historical perspective. The tour was written in the 1300s. Ibn Yaakov bar Usher was the son of the Rush, who was lived at the very end of the period of the Baal Yatosis in the 1300s in Germany, and he already wrote the Piskei Rush in the back of the.
That's only when the
Gemara, which took the Rif, who in the around the year 1000 put together a halacha lemaisa summary of the Gemara, kind of allowed the Shakar Tarya, kind of allowed the Shittas Rambam Pasim like. So the Rif had given us that around 1000 years ago. Fast forward around 300 years, in the 1300s, the Rosh is taking the Rif and adding the many of the Psakim and Shitos and Chidushim and Chuvas of the Baal Yatosis. But both the Rif and the Rosh were organized as more or less al Seder HaGemara. The Rosh's son, the Tur, who traveled with him from Germany to Spain, so he decides to take a page out of the Rambam's book, no pun intended, who had lived shortly after the Rif and had reorganized things into topical order. So Tur does it as well, using his father's Sefer and other recent Rishonim, such as the Rashba and other older Rishonim as well, and reorganizes, unlike the Rambam, is sticking only to that which is Halacha of Ma'aseh B'Zman Hazeh, and basically in Chutz La'aretz, makes up his own organizational scheme. We're talking about before, Aruch Chaim Yeradeh, Menezer Chosh Mishpat, that's crafted by the Tur in the 1300s. And as you see over here, here's the tour specifically, Yor Deis and Kuf Yud Gimel, is the halachas of Shlakos, is what the Mishnah uses to refer to be Shlakim. In the 1500s, Yosef Karo takes the two major codes of halacha we just mentioned, Rama's Mishnah Torah and the tour, and writes a parish on each. He writes a Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, writes a Beis Yosef on the tour, both of which are organized primarily around giving the background Ma'ariv Mekamos to those Sfarim. Because the Mishnah is very brief, and the Tur, he really gives the whole, and the Beis Yosef, and the Tur, he really gives the whole Sugya. Those who have been a part of this limud already, these are all Dvar Pshutim. lay out the Gemara, lay out the Rishonim, and then the bottom line of his Sefer, he gives you the paragraph in the Beis Yosef, then Yosef Karim Shulchan Aruch gives you the bottom line. And we paskin X. So we're going to have a chance to go straight, sif by sif. So for instance, here we're focused primarily on Sif Aleph, seeing the mission of the Gemara, some of the Rishonim, and the tour in the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe, of the Yosef Karo and Moshe Israelis, and then we'll see them at play in their own Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. They put in the brackets, no say Kalim Mefarshim Asar Shulchan Aruch, if you have time, that's Gevaldik. They put in the brackets, you have time to peek at other Rishonim, Gevaldik as well. If you don't have time for everything, you want to just see the Gemara and see one or two of the Rishonim, take a peek in the tour. You'll figure out if you are more ambitious. I want to relieve from ambition without being overwhelming. In case you're more ambitious, there is that gray box that has a Lias or Ian. Just to give you a sense of content, and that'll sort of put things into perspective also. The two big questions, in the halachas of Bishalakim are, in any given situation, trying to figure out whether Bishalakim applies, which breaks down into what sort of items you're dealing with, what sorts of foods you're dealing with, and what sorts of process. So we're going to start with items, and we're going to move on to process. Process will raise questions like how much Jewish participation, lighting the fire, stirring the wok, and so on and so forth. How about if the non-Jew didn't even realize he was turning on, that he was cooking? Those are sort of the process questions that will come up in the middle of the siman. We're going to be open at the beginning of the siman, and it opens the question of ingredients. Which ingredients create a bishlaka problem, and which not? Specifically, we're going to be seeing the major two or three criteria that are introduced in this opening Gemara, Lam Zayin, Ambeis Lam Chesem Alef. You'll hear about Nechal Kamo Shulchayin, Olo Shulchem Lachem. And there may be another one as well. You'll keep your eyes open as you peek through the Rishonim. So that's the core Gemara, the Mishnah that lays out the whole list of Machal Yaakov and the core Gemara. You, if you have a chance to peek in the Tosis, to peek in the Rosh, to peek in the Rambam is Kedarko, shorter and more straightforward. If you have time to roll up your sleeves and work through a Tosis, it'll be certainly very rewarding. If you have more time, you'll see what you have. The Lieser Ian takes you to additional Gemaras later in the Parak that circle back to specific examples of Nechal Kamo Shulchai, of Olam Shulchan Chalachim. As you see, it comes up, those Gemaras get quoted later in Shulchan Aruch. See if you can do that. So you have a chance to see that? Matov? If not, then not. So that's, again, on the largest scale to the most narrow scale. The largest scale, the layout of Shulchan Aruch and of Yardei in particular, the great, fascinating catch-all, the great, beautiful miscellany of Yardei. We're specifically beginning with Chelek Beis Yardei, which is the non-Chulin Hilchos Kashrus. We're in the Maseches Avodah Zarah zone. Working off of this list on Daf Lamed Hey, the list of Machal Yaakov. Spoke a little about the Mivneh, the structure of Maseches Avodah Zarah in general. We spoke a little about the style of Limud and how you can figure out, maybe even week by week, with the Chavrusa, how much time you have and how much you want to vary the Limud. And one more point about content before we get into some technical housekeeping things. I mentioned before that the items that appear in this middle Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey, the Dvarim shall over the kochavim that are aser bachil mutzer b'hanav machal yakum. I mentioned that one way to categorize them is whether they're out of a kashrus concern or whether it's a chassan's concern. There's an intriguing, and then you want to keep your eye on where bishalakum lands in terms of this and why it may matter. There is an intriguing comment of the Tosfos Harash. So he points out, just sort of to zoom out a little bit. So he points out that when you look at the various Machal Yaakov, there is a great variety in terms of how severe they are. Yain is incredibly chamor. Bishal Akum less so. Pas Akum even less. So the Tosfos Harash says the reason why is because they carry different degrees of risk in terms of how likely, you know, how likely is that you really like the bread and the cookies, and that's going to lead you down a path to where you really don't want to be? You know, some risk. Having a whole meal, delicious food, a little more. Drinking wine, much more. So he says that the chazal in crafting each of the gzeros built in more or less kulos depending on the risk level. The greater the risk, the more the fewer kulos. The lower the risk, the greater number of kulos. So that's one sort of perspective to keep in mind. If you have a chance in thinking about the kulos, if you have a chance to take a look at the Rambam, if you read carefully, you'll notice that he's very delicate in how he phrases each of the major kulos of Pishalaka. If you have a chance, you'll see that his language is very suggestive. They're not all the same. They don't operate in the same way. That may have practical afkamina. It certainly is very enriching. But that's, again, some of where we are big adult, some of where we are specifically in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, in Machal Yakam, specifically in Bishul Akam. We'll be exploring which foods, and then we'll be later on exploring different types of process, different types of cooking and other food preparations, Jewish participation, and so on and so forth. At the end of the Siman, there'll be some other miscellaneous dinim. Is there any questions? Let's take questions. Yeah. Mr. President. You want to know about when we're going to start adding icons to the new WhatsApp chat? Part of process is what methods of food preparation. How about microwaves? How about pickling? How about smoking? What's that will come up a little bit. Yeah, that's going to come up a little bit. I think it's Sevdalad. We'll talk about that later. I say you could categorize that as process, maybe. I'm sure you would categorize it. I'm definitely not questioning ingredients. There will be some discussion even in the divide of topics isn't totally clean and perfect over the course of the Sif. Even witness the fact that we come back to Sif Aleph, some of the details appear in Sif from Yadal and Tezvah. Sometimes the organization is a little clearer in the Beis Yosef, if you're looking at the Torah. A lot of times an organization is funny, it's because the Torah Shulchan Aruch are following the Seder HaGemara. Just like we saw the Gadol, you know, Chelek Aleph of the old days, and then they were working through Kashrus and Avodah Zarah, and they would go to other Adinim in the Port of Hara, and then all kinds of things. So even within a Siman, sometimes we're following what we're going to see. We're more or less following along the Seder HaGemara. So the Gemara, Sif Aleph has to do with the top of Lamed Chesam and Aleph. And then comes Sif Beis and Gimel. The bottom of the Chesam Alf and top of the Chesam Beis are Sif and Hevav Zayin Ches. And then Yudalev is deeper onto Lam Chesam Beis. But it's worth having exceptional categories so as we learn, we can fit things into how things web out.